So, the gospel lesson for today is from Matthew chapter 19, and these are the words. Verses 1 to 9. You may stand up if you want to for as we read the gospel lesson. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And as he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. The gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. I wonder how many of you have ever heard of the Pareto Principle. Not surprised. You've heard of it, but not by that name, I'm sure. In the early 1900s, there was an Italian economist by the name of Vilfredo Pareto. He'll forgive me if I said his name wrong. I'm sure he observed that 80% of all the land was owned by 20% of the people. And 80% of the country's wealth was held by 20% of the people. He applied that to his garden. He found that 80% of his peas came from 20% of his pea pods. And that's become known as the 80-20 principle. It's a kind of a rule of thumb, a guide to the imbalance that occurs in many aspects of life. 80 and 20 aren't necessarily numbers that we have to strictly apply, but they kind of help us to understand that in life, maybe activities that we do, 20% of them account for the majority of our happiness and success and so on. Account for about 80% of the happiness that we have. That principle is applied to congregational life too sometimes. About 80% of the volunteer time in a congregation comes from about 20% of the people. And about 20% of the congregational budget is usually donated by about 80% of the people. Or turn it around the other way. 20% of the congregation provides about 80% of the budget. In today's reading from Matthew's gospel, we hear Jesus telling this parable about the sower. I wonder, is Jesus giving us another example of the Pareto Principle? 75% of the seed didn't bear fruit. It was wasted. Only 25% bore fruit. There was only harvest from that. Usually Jesus' parables are in a context of some kind, but not this time. Out of the blue, he starts, once there was a man who went out to sow grain. And he finishes this way. He says, listen then, if you've got ears. No explanation, no hint really what it's about, if there's a deeper meaning or if there's a parallel that's meant to show us something about the kingdom of God. No. Just says, listen. So, along with his disciples, we're left to ask, what's Jesus trying to say? We've heard the story lots of times, haven't we? And any of us who ever planted a garden, or any of us who ever grew up on the farm, know exactly what he's talking about. But Jesus doesn't conclude saying something like, oh, be like the good soil, no. Or be among the 25% who heard the word and understood it and took it to heart, no. He doesn't say, hear God's word and make sure you live it out so that you'll be among the 20%, not the 80%, no. He doesn't say, avoid being like the rocky soil or the thorny soil, no. Didn't say that either. None of that's in the text. God casts out the seed of his word. Notice I said God. In the text, God is the farmer. He's the sower. We know that his word is made flesh in his son, as I mentioned to the young people up here. God scatters Jesus' love to everybody. Nobody's left out. That's a universal principle about scattering the seed. And it's cast over all kinds of soil, all kinds of hearers. Hear it, all of humanity. And all are given the opportunity to respond to the Father's love. And that's something, by the way, that would have sort of stuck in the craw of the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day, who thought that they were the privileged ones for to hear God's word. It's God's plan that everyone have happy and fulfilled lives built on the new life in Jesus, the one that he's won for all of us. It's God's plan that all who are lost would be found and restored to him in a loving relationship. That's the universal message of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. However, in the end, what Jesus simply describes in the parable is reality. When God casts out his love and joy and peace and forgiveness in Jesus, quite often it's unproductive. Maybe about 75% of the time. That's true, unfortunately, in our own personal lives and in our lives also as a church. So, what's the point? Why on earth is Jesus telling a story that's, most of all, it seems, failure, 75%? Some might find it very discouraging. People who want every politician to be a Christian, or people who believe that stadiums of people will give their life to Jesus after one sermon, or even as the disciples. Remember, the disciples went about preaching and baptizing in the early church? They met some very strong opposition, right? As a matter of fact, 11 out of 12 of the disciples of Jesus died a martyr's death. And the 12th one was banished to the island of Patmos, where he lived out the last of his days, the Apostle John. Also remember that a large group of followers of Jesus' followers dropped away as he preached and he taught them about the kingdom of God. They said to him, Master, these are hard words. And lots of them fell away. So they found listening to some of the principles of Jesus and what he taught difficult too. Well, there are three things that, well, maybe there's more than three, but we'll deal with three today. Three things that this parable tells us about the sowing of God's love. Jesus is giving us a reality check here. We're sharing God's love in a hostile world. Yes, today's world is just as hostile to the word as the day when the disciples received it. If we're expecting success every single time we speak about God's love, or every time we run a program or an activity or a study session or something like that, we shouldn't be disappointed if it isn't immediately successful in the way that we think it should be. Maybe Jesus is giving us an example of the 80-20 principle to remind us that opposition to God's love in this world is strong. There's lots of rocky and hard and weedy ground. There's more than we realize. Maybe Jesus is reminding us not to be discouraged if we don't achieve success, or if our ideas about spreading the word don't seem to get off the ground in everything that we try to do. To me, that's kind of encouraging, because it brings me back down to earth. It takes this pie-in-the-sky kind of thinking out of my head. We Christians sometimes get into that. Years ago, in another congregation that I served, some of the members went to a workshop where there was a presentation made about a particular program that was happening in that congregation, and that seemingly was a great success, and so everybody wanted to find out about it. And I asked those who attended what they'd learned and how they felt, and when they came back, they were discouraged and disheartened because they felt that their own congregation wasn't able to do what other congregations were doing. They felt like they'd failed. They said something like, if we've got God in our congregation, then why don't we have the numbers in worship that they've got in worship over there? Or the upbeat music group that they've got, or the much needed support group, or the big youth group that draws kids in from miles around. Why not? Jesus reminds us in this parable that sharing God's love is never going to be easy with quick results. In fact, at times it will be downright frustrating, as it must have been for the farmer as he looked for a harvest on the weedy and the rocky ground. Suppose, for example, that my father, who farmed for as long as I could remember, because of course he was farming when I was born and retired shortly after I graduated from seminary, suppose after he only got number two or less than that, for years and years and years, he said, I think I'll give up. I'm going to quit farming because I'll never get number one. What if he'd said that? What if we say the same thing when it comes to speaking out the word and sowing the word? Just because we're not getting the results that we think we should be getting, does that mean we quit doing it? I don't think so. There are people who respond to that word. Some of those who respond will only do so at some time in the future, at a time and a place that will probably be unknown to us. But the seed has been planted, and the Holy Spirit will nurture that seed. And at some time, there will be a harvest as that person responds to the love of God in Jesus Christ. The seed that the founders of this congregation planted years ago, and they told me in the first service that that was probably sometime in the late 30s and 40s. Is that right, as far as you know? Something like that? Okay. The seeds that the founders of this congregation planted years ago are bearing fruit today in ways that they would have never imagined. In the end, in spite of our failings, in spite of hostility and apathy in the world around us toward Christ, there will be a harvest, because God promised in His word to the prophet Isaiah, and that promise still holds true today, "My word will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that for which I send it out." So, that leads me to the third point I want to make. God keeps on liberally supplying the seed. There might be a limit to our energy, and a limit to our patience, and a limit to our love, and a limit to our commitment. But there's one thing for sure: there's no limit on what God can do through the outpouring of His love through us. In spite of the sometimes poor success rate of sowing the seed and getting it to reach the point of harvest, God will keep on sowing. And you and I are the privileged individuals as His church to be the people who sow the seed in His behalf. Through us, God keeps scattering the seed of His love in Christ. He encourages us not to give up, but to keep on teaching Sunday school or spreading the news in school if we have one of those, to serve the sick and the elderly, encourage them with God's word of love and hope, to teach our kids, to teach our grandkids, to be a part of children's ministry or seniors' ministry, to take part in Bible study. All of that is sowing the seed, encouraging others with the promises of God's love, and above all, keeping the vision that God is doing His work in His field, in His time. There will be a harvest. It's not for us to determine who will successfully grow and who won't. We're simply called upon to assist the farmer, that's God, in casting the seed. And God, the farmer, He will continue to keep on scattering the seed of His love over everyone. And you and I, we're the privileged ones. We're the privileged ones to help create His everlasting garden. God, give us ears to hear His word and to spread it out there. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.